Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're really getting into the mechanics of theocracy. When a state claims a divine mandate, how does it actually run?
Right, it's an incredibly revealing look at the architecture of power.
Exactly. We are pulling apart some fascinating academic research on governance and divine justification to decode how religious authority merges with sovereign power.
And just to set the parameters here, we're focusing strictly on the geopolitical data and the historical realities within the sources. This isn't about endorsing any theology or political view. We're impartially reporting on how these states physically operate and maintain control.
Okay, let's unpack this, because theocracies aren't just one monolith, right? You look at Iran, for instance, and they have democratic features like an elected parliament, but it's overlaid with a strict clerical veto system.
Yeah, and then you jump to the completely opposite end of the spectrum with the ultimate geopolitical anomaly.
Vatican City.
Exactly, Vatican City. When you look at it strictly as a sovereign state, it's wild. It's a 0.44 square kilometer absolute monarchy.
With a transient, mostly celibate population, right?
Yes, and citizenship isn't granted by birth. It's granted by office. So it's a country purpose-built to govern a religion rather than a natural populace.
Which completely shifts what the government actually prioritizes. I mean, in a secular democracy, the goal is usually economic efficiency or diplomacy.
Means to an end.
Right. But what's fascinating here is how theocracies handle value.
They prioritize intrinsic values. So doctrinal purity becomes the ultimate goal, even if it actively harms the economy or foreign relations.
The civil rule of law is entirely subordinated to the rule of God's law.
Completely. And to hold a society like that together, these states often rely on what philosophers call the noble lie.
A unifying narrative of spiritual brotherhood.
Exactly meant to create social harmony.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. That spiritual brotherhood sounds great in theory, but what happens when that utopian vision hits the messy reality of running a government?
Well, that brings us to a striking piece of history, the 1534 Münster Rebellion.
Oh, wow.
It started as an Anabaptist commune built on pure altruism. They wanted to abolish money and literally share everything.
But within months, they face blockades.
And extreme resource shortages.
The harsh reality of survival.
Right. And under a leader named Jan van Leyden, it rapidly devolved into a starving totalitarian autocracy. To keep control and ensure the regime's survival, Leyden crowned himself king. He legalized polygamy and made even minor social friction punishable by death.
Talk about a drastic pivot. How does an altruistic commune become a dictatorship so fast?
Through the altruism paradox, the reality is that the competitive scarcity of governance inevitably corrupts religious altruism. When a spiritual leader suddenly has to manage resources, defend borders, and hold on to power, they are forced to use earthly mechanics of control.
And how do they justify those earthly mechanics to a population expecting divine leadership?
They use an infallibility shield. They frame political or economic failures as divine tests.
Which cleverly prevents the leadership from being held accountable.
Exactly. Then they enforce legal moralism, turning personal religious sins into actual state crimes. It is an incredibly effective, if brutal, way to monitor and control the population.
It is easy to look at 1534 Münster and think of it as ancient history. But looking impartially at the modern polling data in our sources, the desire for governance rooted in faith is still incredibly strong.
Sizable communities in secular nations still strongly favor religious rule over the democratic will.
Right now, 78% of U.S. evangelicals favor declaring the U.S. a Christian nation. And in the Arab world, 35% favor an undemocratic Sharia system.
Which is why understanding these mechanics is so crucial today.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, trying to make sense of shifting global politics?
If we connect this to the bigger picture and circle back to that noble lie of spiritual brotherhood we mentioned earlier, when a regime faces crisis, that narrative transforms into a tool purely for state survival. When citizens are told that dying for a political leader is the only path to salvation, the theocracy becomes indistinguishable from secular autocracy.
It just uses a divine mandate as a very powerful shield.
Precisely.
It leaves you with a really profound question to chew on. If the altruism paradox dictates that the competitive necessities of statecraft inevitably corrupt spiritual intent, does successfully preserving the purity of a religion require its followers to actively refuse political power altogether?